Patrice Lumumba was the first prime minister of the newly independent Democratic Republic of Congo and had barely been in office a month when President Eisenhower handed down the order to CIA Director Alan Dulles to have Lumumba eliminated. Lumumba's crime, in the eyes of the U.S. and other Western powers, was his determination to control Congo's resources in the interests of improving the living conditions of the Congolese people. We learn more about that incident and its context in the documentary Soundtrack to a Coup d'État, directed by the Belgian media artist Johan Grimond-Prez. The film opens with and returns to the moment in February 1961 when singer Abby Lincoln, drummer Max Roach, writer Maya Angelou, and 57 other protesters disrupted a meeting of the UN Security Council to protest the murder of Lumumba. The Democratic Republic of Congo was one of 16 newly independent African countries admitted to the United Nations in 1960, a change that shifted the majority vote away from the old colonial powers. Although Belgium no longer officially ruled its former colony, the European power wanted to retain control of its riches. The United States wanted access to one of the world's biggest supplies of uranium, crucial to making atomic bombs, as coltan is today crucial to making cell phones. The United Nations, still a new institution, wanted to retain its authority and the backing of the USA, and rival politicians in the DRC were willing to ally with colonial powers for their own interests. Violence erupted almost immediately after Congo's official independence because the military was still under the control of white Belgian officers. Rank-and-file soldiers mutinied, Belgium sent troops to protect white colonists, and supported the secession of breakaway states within the Congo. The UN sent peacekeeping troops but refused to defend the newly independent government, so Lumumba sought Soviet support. The Congo crisis was a proxy conflict in the Cold War. In response to the unfolding neocolonial power grab, Soviet Prime Minister Nikita Khrushchev banged his shoe on his desk at the UN General Assembly. Denouncing America's color bar and the UN complicity in the overthrow of Lumumba, he demanded immediate decolonization worldwide. The U.S. State Department sent African-American musicians to Africa as jazz ambassadors, including Louis Armstrong, Nita Simone, Duke Ellington, and Dizzy Gillespie, purportedly to win African hearts and minds, but the U.S. also sent covert CIA operatives along on their tours. By the time Lumumba was deposed, there were a dozen plots in the works to assassinate him, with the complicity of agents and mercenaries from the UK and Ireland, as well as Belgium, the US, and the Congo. Soundtrack to a Coup d'État weaves together the strands of this story, jazz style. It draws on a wealth of archival footage, as well as readings from texts by Central African Republic politician and women's rights activist André Blouin, Irish diplomat Conor Cruz O'Brien, Belgian-Congolese writer Nkole Jean Bofan, and Nikita Khrushchev. And of course, the soundtrack is great. It's a dense and complex film, and at first I worried I didn't know enough to follow its complex interweaving of timelines and storylines, text and image and music, but by the end of its 2.5-hour running time, I had learned all this and more. Who knew that hired killers are so very fond of writing tell-all memoirs? And did you know Dizzy Gillespie once ran for president? Some reviewers have found there's too much going on in the film, and others have objected that some of the jazz musicians are presented as more naive than they were about U.S. government machinations, or that the film idealizes Lumumba's pan-Africanism. But if you have a library card and internet access, you can decide for yourself. Soundtrack to a Coup d'État is available to stream on Canopy through the Multnomah County Library.